Great to have you with us for another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here, and today we'll be visiting with Vijay Pandian, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County, regular contributor to the Green Bay Press Gazette. And I know we'll talk a bit about storm-damaged trees, the fall garden cleanup, and a whole lot more as we visit with him. Before we get to him, and we'll get to him in just a minute or two here, my good friend and colleague, Kate Archer Kent, with us. Kate.
Hey, Larry.
Good to see your smiling face.
Oh, it's fun to be here. I love to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here because I need the help here talking about our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive, the single source, single biggest source of funding for WPR programs. Is from gardeners, among others, listeners like you. So this drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. So I hope you'll take this important step. When you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And Kate, I assume we have a goal here.
We have a goal. Last hour, backing up a little bit, last hour we heard from 31 WPR lovers. Thank you for everyone who gave. And this hour, we have a goal of 35 pledges.
Ooh. All right. That's a big total, but we have to meet it. Those hourly goals are very important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the talk going strong on the Ideas Network. So I hope you'll give right now in support of all our programming, and in particular Garden Talk, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You're powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. Your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
So your contribution keeps independent public service radio on the air for not only you, but for your entire community. So I hope you'll give right now. Do it at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that pledge drives are a really great time to hear from you. If you haven't donated to WPR before, we'd especially like to hear from you right now.
And any amount you give makes a big difference, and giving takes just a couple of minutes. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make a contribution. Maybe it's $10 or $20 a month. And when you do, you make the WPR programs you count on every day possible.
This fall membership drive, we have a new gift to help you embrace the season. It's a WPR logo crewneck sweatshirt. It's heathered gray and printed right here in Wisconsin.
Oh gosh, I love the smell of fall more than anything. I love the smell of the leaves and the ground, and the sky is so blue and the air is so fresh.
I love that it's everybody's favorite season, and so I can feel like I'm part of something bigger. Also, decorative gourds.
Wisconsin has the best fall colors.
The WPR sweatshirt is just one more thing to love about fall. Ask for yours when you give $20 a month or make a one-time gift of $240. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge. I'm Larry Mueller with Kate Archer-Kent. Kate, are you getting your sweater, your WPR?
I'm really torn between socks and a sweatshirt.
I'm
not sure which way to go on that one.
You could go both.
I could go both, right.
I'm going both, actually. What about you? We're asking for your support right now during our fall membership drive. Hey, it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. So maybe your gift is $10 a month or $20 a month. If they did $30 a month, would they get both? I don't know. I'm not sure. Whatever amount you choose, though. Maybe it's $5 a month, but maybe it's 10 or 20, or maybe it's 100. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
We know you value your time, and we value your time as well. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes on a Friday. Tell us your name, your contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Quick and easy to do, and your gift right now really, really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Have we made any progress here?
Well, we've made one progress, one step in the right direction. Okay. We have 34 more pledges to go. Oh. I have to read this before we get into Garden Talk. Ruth Ann from Green Bay says, I'm disabled and can't give much, but wanted to give something because WPR is a friendly voice in my otherwise empty house. I especially like Larry's happy voice. Isn't that nice?
Oh, thank you very much, Ruth Ann. I really appreciate that. Well, Ruth Ann made a contribution. What about you? If you're not a sustainer, you could become one right now. Easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. I have a friend who raised her sustainer level another $5 a month just yesterday. Maybe she's doing it today. I don't know.
Set it and forget it, but don't forget it.
You know what she did?
What?
She went to WPR.org.
She's
going there. Or she might have called 888-202-2552. And you could do that, too. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Kate, do you promise to come back and talk with me again?
I will. I will be back, no less. But I think we really need to get into Garden Talk now.
I think you're right. Here's VJ Singh. Oh, my gosh. VJ Pandian. What did I say? VJ Singh? I had golf on my mind, VJ. I'm sorry.
You suddenly have a lot more money, Vijay.
Oh, my goodness me. Vijay Pandian, our guest, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. And I don't know, do you golf, Vijay?
Very occasionally.
Okay. So you're not the Vijay Singh of Brown County?
No.
Okay.
You're not the only one, actually. Got confused.
Well, you know, there's a lot of golf going on in France right now with the U.S. against everybody else. So that's probably why I made that mistake. But if you're going to make a mistake, it's not too bad, I guess, to make. You know what's a mistake maybe is to, if you've got a tree that's had some damage and a lot of people have in this bad weather we've had. There's ways to take care of those trees, and there's mistakes that you can make that can actually hurt the tree. But let's talk about what kind of damage you've been seeing with trees because of storms.
Larry, generally, you know, trees are designed to withstand these kind of normal wind storms and winter storms, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, trees typically fail when the weight of the crown exceeds the mechanical strength of the branches, stems, or roots, okay? So try to understand the defective on the branches, stems, and root. It will be the very first step a homeowner has to, you know, deal with it before, you know, deciding whether this tree is worth saving it or not saving it, or if it needs to be correctively pruned or, you know, rectified, then probably that'll be the first step to do. So when you approach a damaged tree, approach it very carefully. If there is any wires that has been down, make sure to call either 911 or call a certified arborist to come and inspect the tree right away. Now, the second thing you need to think about is to understand the architecture of the tree. How the tree looks like, is it standing perfectly fine in a straight angle, or is it leaning, actually? If it's leaning, to what degree it is leaning? Either about, like, you know, 60 degree or 40 degree. If it exceeds to 40 degree, then probably it's best not to have the tree, okay? Get rid of it. It's like a ticking time bomb, actually, you know. The second thing, you know, is to understand or assess the branching structure of the tree. Nearly 1/4 of the tree failure is due to this weak branch union. A good tree has a strong central leader, and the main branches are about like 60 to 90 degree angles from the central leader. Like trees like Kentucky coffee tree, ginkgos, swamp white oak, Turkish filbert, ball cypress. These are all very good trees that have a strong branch union. They have like a U-shaped branch union with a central leader. So those are good branching structure trees. Now, of course, in our landscape and even in our street trees, we do have a lot of trees which have a very weak branch union. These trees have like a union, like a more like a V-shaped one, where the branch tissue doesn't fuse us with the trunk tissues very well, okay? So when the weight of the snowstorm or maybe the wind easily rip those branch unions very easily. Trees like silver maple, linden tree, your box elder tree, Freeman maple, red maple, willows, hackberries, these are very common trees that are more highly prone to branch dieback or branch break during the windstorm. The third most important thing is to look at some of the trunk structure. If your trunk has a lot of cracks or a split, or if you're doing see some sort of like a mushrooms or conks popping out, or many times, many homeowners show to me some of the saps that's been oozing out from the trunk. Those are all good indication that the internal wood has been decaying or is already dead. So internal wood is the one that actually gives the strength for the tree to stand upright, actually. So if that, it's like a backbone of a tree. So if the internal wood has been decaying, then probably the tree is highly vulnerable to storm damages.
You know, I had a tree like that, probably a 150-year-old tree that I had to take out at a fairly, about $3,000, I think it cost me to get rid of it because it was in the backyard and there were, mm-hmm. There's lots of, you needed a professional and it needed mm-hmm. to be done the right way. And, but it was showing what you were just talking about, that age and when, we took a look inside, it was, pretty rotten throughout. And that big old tree falling on my house wouldn't have been a good thing.
It is. I mean, you brought a very good point. The age of the tree should also be taken into factor. If you have a tree that is more than about 30 years old or something, then those kind of trees are very hard to be rectified, those defective.
Yeah.
And then the other important thing is the proximity to your property. Say, generally, if you're planting a large mature tree, they need to be at least about 30, 35 feet from the house. Quite often, many homeowners do have trees less than that, and those trees are, the risk goes up, actually, when you have a tree closer to your building or to your sidewalks or to your driveway. And if they do have some defectiveness, it causes that.
Yeah, it causes a lot of money. We have a tree question, actually, from Jan in Viroqua. So Let's go there. We can talk some more about damage. But Jan, what's on your mind?
Hi guys. I have a Stanley plum. I'm very fond of. It's been in the ground for about 2 years now.
Okay.
The first season it seemed fine. This summer it has not thrived. It started dropping leaves, and now it has only about a handful of leaves on its lower branches. I have a couple of hypotheses about it. One is that they're suckers, which I didn't prune off because I thought I was in the wrong season to cut them off. And then in an effort to build a guild in the terms of permaculture, I planted comfrey around the base. And I may have overdone it because I've got 8 robust comfrey plants around this little tree. So I'm wondering if they're sapping its energy. But something is keeping it from thriving.
Did the leaves turn color before they dropped or did they just drop?
I don't remember. I think they mostly just dropped.
Okay.
When did it drop the leaves?
Well, I would say it started about... It's been a progressive thing, primarily from the top down, for the last 6-8 weeks.
Okay. A couple of things could have gone wrong, actually, on your Stanley plum. One possibility is that, it could have some winter injuries. See, what happens is that we last winter was a pretty mild one. We didn't have enough snow cover on the ground. Many times, the roots actually are highly vulnerable to cold injury. The roots are not so super hardy compared to the shoot system. So when we don't have enough snow cover, the root injury could have actually killed, could have been killed, and that could have affected the movement of nutrient and water uptake to the tree. So there might be still some healthy roots actually around it, and that might be supporting the tree. But when the midsummer comes in, the demand for water increases up. However, the roots cannot actually, support the entire, actually, crown demand. So some of the branches and twigs will start to die back because of that. And only a few healthy branches could be supported by the root system. So that's one possibility. We've been facing these kind of winter injuries very commonly on many trees, including your apples, cherries, plum trees. They usually start to die back because of the root injury, which is associated back with the last year's winter.
So there you go. Jan, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. BJ Pandian, our guest today, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Kate Archer-Kent joins me. Kate, you ever lose a tree in your lawn or area?
Well, we have lots of trees now in our new house, Larry. I mean, we just look out to tons of trees. So we are just, it's a wait and see. And when do you call in the arborist?
When do you call in the arborist, or when do you tune in on Friday or Saturday morning to Garden Talk
there
and listen
go.
In to people like VJ Pandian? Oh, man. It's always fun when VJ joins. It's always fun on Garden Talk, and especially during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. We want to remind you that we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, like Garden Talk. So I hope you'll support the people here who provide Garden Talk. Support from people like you is the single largest piece of funding for our programs. And that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
Looking for 25 more pledges now in the next 37 minutes or so. When you give, you fund Garden Talk. You fund the Larry Mueller Show, all the other WPR programs that you count on as well. So give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions like VJ Pandian. Others specialize in lawns or maybe trees or vegetables or native plants, the whole broad range. So I hope you'll support this program where you get so much gardening information all year long. With your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And whether you're already a member or you're making your first pledge ever, anyone can become a sustainer. Let us know what monthly amount works for you and whether you want that to come from your bank account or your credit card. And I love that program, Larry, the Sustainer program.
Yeah, it's so easy.
It's easy.
Yeah, yep. And once you set it up, your membership, it automatically renews. Start your sustaining membership right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have an exciting drawing this drive. Pledge any amount, and you could win a $200 gift card to a bookstore near you. You'll have 5 chances to win. $200 goes a long way.
Extra $200 at a bookstore. I like magazines, and I don't buy that many of them because they're kind of a waste, but if I had $200, I would buy all kinds of magazines that I didn't really need.
Map collection or Audubon sketches, some like really big collection.
I would peruse around the fiction section, the latest nonfiction releases, but sometimes I just like looking at what the booksellers put up as their favorite options.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the bookstore gift card giveaway rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your pledge of any amount right now. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org Pittsburgh or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer-Kent, raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs you enjoy on the air. And maybe your pledge is $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on every gift, your gift.
Your gift. As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $1 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on going out to dinner or doing things with friends. Those are things certainly you enjoy, and it certainly makes life better, just like listening to WPR. The important thing is that you decide what amount's right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Looking for two dozen pledges to go here this hour. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, thanks for that. And maybe today is the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 a month or more, like my friend. Whatever amount you choose, just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Thanks for joining us today on Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here, my guest VJ Pandian. With us now, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. And let's go to Nick in Greenleaf. Nick, thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
Hey, thank you so much, Larry. I just planted 3 oak trees, 1 bur oak, 2 red oaks. The red oaks look like they're surviving just fine. The bur oak, kind of root-bound. It was kind of dried out, and I planted it, and a lot of the leaves fell off, and I was just wondering if you could tell me a way I could figure out if it's still alive and going to start growing next spring.
Yeah. Did you just plant that, Nick?
I'd say about 2 months ago.
2 months ago. Okay. VJ, What do you think?
Well, generally, oak trees, okay, are best to be planted in early spring. When they're still, in the dormant stage. If you plant them in the rest of their growing season, especially like midsummer time, they go through this transplant shock, actually. And because when you disturb the roots, or if you don't provide a good amount of watering, they go through this shock typically. And this shock will last about like 2 years or so, depending upon how well you're going to take care of the tree after you did with the planting. So don't give up your hope yet, okay, and see how the tree is performing this winter. But one thing I would stress you out is that if there are any weeds nearby a bur oak tree, remove those weeds. Put a thin layer of wood chip mulch. Keep the wood chip mulch 6 inches away from the bark of the tree. And make sure to do some winter protection, especially from deers or bunnies or anything. And see how it's performing next year. It's very common for trees to go through this transplant shock, especially if you plant them in the midst of the growing season.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to make sure it's well watered going right into the winter season as well, I think. Always a good thing to keep in mind, Nick. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Jim in Green Bay. Hi, Jim.
Hello. I think it's 3 questions I have. We have an oak tree, and we've got a maple tree, and the trunk diameters are about 4-5 inches up to about 6 inches. And with trimming the lawn, these lower branches seem to be hitting us in the head often. So I'm wondering when would be the best time to prune some of those bottom branches up so we could have the crown grow higher? And is it a good idea to trim those lower branches? I mean, does that stop the growth, or will there be any issues with that?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. Usually, when the trees are beginning to establish after 3 years or so, you can start trimming some of the lower branches and you can start to raise the crown. So till then, those lower branches are like a temporary branches that you can earmark it. So after 3 years or so, you can start pruning them. However, you know, you have to remember oak trees, they need to be pruned during the winter time. So beginning from November till about mid-March, if you're living in city of Green Bay, the pruning ordinance states that, you know, the pruning timing is till mid-March. So before that, you can able to prune it, not during the growing season. However, maples, you know, you can prune them actually in late winter, early spring. Now, ideally, you know, in our large trees like oaks and maples, you can have the lowest branch about 8 feet high from the ground once it becomes mature. So, and that's a standard you can set in. So depending upon how, you know, the maturity of a tree it looks like right now, you know, maybe for now you can temporarily leave it, and maybe in the midwinter time you can actually raise the canopy a little bit by trimming some of the lower branches. And then for maples in about late winter, early spring, you can also trim some of the lower branches.
And then you can enjoy not getting your head whacked every time you walk under the tree with your lawnmower. Thanks a lot, Jim, for calling. Appreciate your call. Dan in Oregon, we go to you. Hi, Dan.
Hi, gentlemen. Larry, I agree with the other caller who said you have a happy voice.
Thank you.
I have two quick questions. We have a small orchard of apple trees. Don't really know the varieties. Anyway, we added a Honeycrisp about 5 years ago. I want to guess the diameter is 3 to 4 inches. This is the first year that it really produced, and it had been leaning. Now it's leaning considerably, and I'm wondering, tips. I've seen people weight the opposite side. I don't think I have strong enough branches to do that. Can I stake it and pull it over? And then, or not pull it, but gently apply pressure to it with
Yep.
That won't harm the trunk. And then the second question is, I planted three pear trees a few years ago. Two died. I have one left. What's the best time to add more pear trees, fall or spring?
All right. Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. VJ, what do you think?
Yes, definitely you can prop back, actually, your Honeycrisp tree back again. Since it's been planted 5 years ago, I think it's still fairly in its young stage of its life. Say, perhaps, actually, you know, early spring would be a best option to do. Now the tree is trying to go set into a dormancy mode, so probably it will be a little bit tougher, and you don't want to disturb them right now. So it'll be, the tree will be more flexible to prop actually in the late winter, early spring, like in April, early April will be the best to do. And once you prop back, you know, do it very gently. Use like a flat belt, actually not a, like a, you know, string or anything to fasten it. And then, you know, you don't have to prop all of a sudden back again to a straight. Gradually do it. Maybe for the first year, you may want to actually prop it to about like, you know, 60 degree angle or something like that. Then, you know, then next second year, maybe 75 degree angle to the pole. And third year, you know, probably back again to straight 90 degree. So that kind of gradual propping may help actually in to overcome any shock that tree has been experiencing.
Pear trees.
Pear trees, yes. Early spring would be the best time to plant another pear tree. So you can get your bare root pear trees from any, you know, wholesale nursery folks, actually. And bare root trees are one of the best one to plant. So early spring. These days it's hard to predict when the early spring is.
Yeah, it sure is.
Say, one thumb rule is that, you know, when the snow melts, when the ground starts to thaw, then probably that'll be the best time to plant.
There you go. Thanks again, Dan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Tom in Appleton next. Hi, Tom.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Hey, I just got a pointer for all the folks that are wondering about the appearance of the foliage, the leaves on their deciduous trees and so on, or even the gentleman with the oaks and wondering if they're alive for next year, is that it's September 28th. It's fall. The leaves are done. They've been bitten by bugs, infected by fungi. They've been beaten by way too much sun, too much hail and wind and rain. They have done their job. But do look at the buds at the end of all the twigs. Look at the buds at the main leader. And if they're plump and healthy, if they have the normal appearance of buds for that plant, everything is great. And it'll leaf out normally next year. I know your guest knows this. I know you know this as well, Larry. But it just wasn't coming up. And I think a lot of people just relatively tree inexperienced people might not know to look at the buds. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Tom. I think that's good advice, isn't it, VJ?
Awesome. That is a great, that's a great advice. Generally, many of the trees actually would start producing the buds for next season by mid-July. So they will start to accumulate the energy by mid-July. Say, probably by late summer, you will start to see actually the buds for next season in a dormant condition. So look at the terminal ends and, you know, scratch one or two buds and see, you know, if they're still green inside or not. And if they're green, hooray, you know, you're going to definitely have a tree, you know, facing through the winters very well, likely, and they will actually bud out, you know, next spring. So that's a good indication that to tell, you know, whether the tree has, you know, made enough of its bud for next season or not. Yes.
And thanks again for that question. Appreciate it very much. VJ Pandian, our guest today, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Always great to have him on to talk with us on Garden Talk, and always great to see the smiling face of Kate Archer Kent, who's with me again.
Well, listening to Garden Talk makes me think about the city taking down the ash tree in front of my house the other day, and I wish, Larry, I had had a stopwatch, because that tree, they took that down in maybe 4 to 5 minutes flat, had the street swept up, and they were gone.
They're getting a lot of practice because there are a lot of ash trees going down.
We were all watching in front of our picture window, and they were boom, 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 done and gone. And I went downstairs to the contractor working in our basement shower, and I said, I wish you could put in a new shower as fast as they take down an ash tree.
Well, I tell you what, I wish we could get even more people to contribute during our fall membership drive. That's what I wish.
That's a mighty segue.
That's for sure. You know, here we are looking for listener contributions. So as you listen to this, remember that you provide the single largest source of funding for us. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including this one, on the air. So hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
We're making some progress. We only need 14 more pledges to go in the next 20 minutes. You know, we have a solid goal of 35 pledges. We need 14 more. These hourly goals, they're set up to make sure that we have the funding for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Always fun talking with VJ Pandian and all the horticulture educators that we have throughout the state, because they know so much. Here we are. We could talk about all kinds of things, but we're zeroed in on trees today. Well, it's fine with him. We can talk about other things as well. But I think the good information that he gives and all of our experts give can save a lot of money. They can save a lot of heartache. They can and grief. And it's because of people like you. WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552, you make this hour and the many more hours possible. So I hope you'll choose an amount that works for you. If you haven't done it already, do it right now. Take a few minutes, make your pledge.
Support the programs you love right now, and get that cool new WPR crewneck sweatshirt that Larry has an eye on. It's dark gray with the WPR logo on it, printed right here in Wisconsin. Ask for the sweatshirt with your gift of $20 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $240 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Bruce, thank you so much for your contribution. And thank you if you've pledged already. If you haven't, now's the time to do it. You pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on, and that's why your support is so, so, so important. So gift, $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
And maybe you've already made a donation this year or you're a sustaining member. Thank you so much. Please consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll help make this drive successful and you'll support the programs you enjoy every day.
13 more pledges to go and about 15, 16 minutes to make that goal. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Abby Gay from Bristol says, I always donate once a year, but the socks got to me. I can't wait to get this. Socks. They are pretty cool socks. I'll get those socks.
Novelty.
Too. They're kind of fun. And, you know, I heard someone else say this morning, it's not really about the socks. It's about the programs. I mean, the socks are great, but I think the programs like Garden Talk are wonderful programs providing a lot of fun and a lot of great information. So if WPR makes a difference to you, give right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You're listening to Garden Talk here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, VJ Pandian, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. With us through our Green Bay station, great to have him along, and thank you so much for listening in. Questions for him? Call in 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take a couple of emails here. Ron emailed to ask when it's safe to trim a burning bush to shape it.
Okay. Usually the bunnies does a good job actually in trimming the burning bush.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Say, early spring would be one of the best time to prune them, actually. Say, you can do a heading cut on a burning bush, or if the burning bush has grown out of control, you can also do some thinning cut. A heading cut typically means you're reducing the height of the bush. So you're actually, you know, reducing to those bush height to a lateral bud or to a lateral branch. But there is a thumb rule that's called 1/3 thumb rule. Say, let's say your burning bush is about 6 feet high. In a year maximum, you can take off about 2 feet at the maximum to reduce the height. So in that way, you can gradually spread, actually, your pruning strategies over 3 or 4 years, okay, to reduce the height of the burning bush to whatever the desired level that you want. But 1/3 is the maximum set rule per year. Now, in a thinning cut, let's say, your burning bush has too many old canes or too many old branches, and they've been crowding the middle and not letting some of the new ones to come in. In those cases, you can actually thin some of the old branches or old canes back to its point of attachment or back to the ground. And the same thumb rule applies, about 1/3 thumb rule. Let's say you have 6 old canes. In a year maximum, you can take 2 old branches out of the bush. So you can employ this either heading cut, thinning cut, or both, actually, depending upon, how bad your burning bush looks like,
Jeff in Edgerton emailed to say he has 5 large oak trees that are growing along the Rock River. They all have about 20% of leaves that started early this year. They started losing leaves, and he asked if this is due to the moisture or disease, anything he can do. The Rock River got pretty, pretty high, as I recall, and depending on how close those oak trees were, there could have been some damage that way, VJ.
It's possible. You know, trees usually have this kind of like, tolerance level to flooding situation. Generally, many trees, can take some flooding situation like, about a week or so at the maximum, depending upon what species you're talking about it. But if there is a standing water for more than a week, then probably they will have some root damages caused by root rot pathogens, and that could weaken the tree and even cause the trees to die. Plus, if the tree has some, history of other stress issues going on, environmental-related stress issues, that could also, further aggravate the situation. Say, perhaps one way to tell is, check the buds and see if they still have any healthy buds right now for next season. And wait till next year, and late spring or early June to see, how the tree looks like. If a tree has more than 50% canopy dieback, then probably it's best to take down those kind of tree. Now, oaks, remember, are an exception case. You should not prune the oaks during the growing season. Say, always schedule a pruning or removal of the tree during the winter months.
Let's take a call. Larry in Reedsburg, thanks for calling. What can we do for you?
Hi there.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, sorry about that. I got a walnut tree, wondering about how acidic or poisonous defense mechanism they have. We're having a hard time getting our garden going in the surrounding area. I'm wondering how far of a reach do they have and taking it out. Will it not have an immediate effect of allowing our garden to produce?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not going to be an immediate effect if you take the tree out. And it does have a pretty long reach away, even from the crown of the tree, isn't it, Vijay?
Definitely. Do you know what kind of tree you have?
Black walnut, I think he said?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So, black walnut, butternut trees, they exude a chemical called juglone chemical. And we call this phenomena as allelopathy, which means that the tree naturally exhibits these chemicals to prevent or suppress any other plants competing against them. And this black walnut butternut tree has this toxic chemical called juglone. And this juglone is present in any part of the tree, either the roots, the bark, the branch,
leaves,
and even the fruits actually do have that. So the sad thing is that these chemicals can be persistent in the soil even after you take down the tree. Some studies have shown that, the mature the tree is, that the more persistent the chemical could be, more than 20 years, actually, it could last even after you take down the tree. And these roots could travel further far away from the drip line of the tree. There is a rough calculation if you want to know how far this tree roots are going to be. Multiply the height of the tree with a factor 1.5, and that distance that tree roots can spread. So, in a way, if you do have a black walnut tree, you cannot grow, you cannot have all garden plants. Many garden plants are susceptible to juglone toxicity. Like, for example, your cabbage plant, tomatoes. Tomatoes are highly vulnerable to it.
Yeah.
Peppers, potatoes, rhubarb, asparagus. But on a good note, there are certain vegetables which are tolerant to this juglone toxicity, like your beans, carrots, your onions, your parsnip, melons, squash. These vegetables are tolerant. Now, one advice I typically give to my master gardeners, if you do have a black walnut tree nearby and you still want to have a normal garden, in those scenarios, I would tend to go with a raised bed garden. So before you build any raised bed boxes, put a landscape fabric underneath or a thick landscape fabric underneath or spread some cardboard sheet underneath so that to prevent the roots of the black walnut poking underneath, okay? And then fill with some good topsoil, not from your existing garden soil, get a new topsoil or a compost and fill it back in the raised beds, and then you can grow. One thing you need to aware about is that if there is any leaves that has been or fruits that's been fallen from a black walnut tree into your raised bed, make sure to remove it. And don't put those black walnut leaves or fruits into your compost pile. You don't want to recirculate back the toxicity back into your garden like that.
Yeah. There you go, Larry. A little bit of work ahead of you there. Thanks a lot for calling, though. I appreciate your call. Scott in Summit Lake, your turn. Hi, Scott.
Good morning. I have a raspberry patch that has declined in production in the last couple of years, and I want to know what I can do to produce better berries, fertilizer, and also it is being overrun by sumac. How do I get rid of the sumac?
Hmm. How old is your raspberry patch?
10 years.
10 years, okay. Generally, raspberries are patches which are more than about 15 years or so. Probably it's best to start from scratch. But 10 years, you're getting to that stage. Now, raspberries, you know, they are highly vulnerable to wet soil. So if you have any standing water in your garden, for about 4 or 5 days, or in a heavy clay soil type, then probably they tend to get a root rot issue, and this root rot could spread from one raspberry plant to the next one immediately, very easily, actually. In last few years, we've been seeing this root rot issues on raspberry plants very commonly in Green Bay area, because Green Bay used to have has a lot of clay soil, and last couple of years we've been having a lot of rain actually in the summertime. So if you want to really know, I would scoop out one of the declining plant and bring it to your local extension office. Make sure to scoop out the entire plant. We want to examine your root system to see if it really has a root rot pathogen or not. The second possibility, it also could be, is that raspberries do get cane borers, actually.
Yeah.
So, and that cane borers can actually travel from the tip of the stem all the way down to the crown. So you will see some puncture holes actually around the tip of the raspberries, okay? And that's a good indication of the cane borers. And the cane borers in the midsummer time, you will see that suddenly the cane of the raspberries, the tip of the canes are wilting. So if that is the case, then probably the best way is to actually get rid of the infected plant and burn the canes right away.
Get rid of them right away. Very good advice, Scott. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Vijay Pandian, our guest, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. And we're getting to the top of the hour here. And Kate Archer-Kent joins me again. Kate, I'm so nervous I'm losing my voice here, because we have a goal, and we're getting close to reaching it. In our fall membership drive. Your gift right now, very important, that gifts from people like you are the single largest source of funding for our programs. And this helps keep all the programs you enjoy going strong. So invest right now in Garden Talk and Wisconsin Public Radio.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're making progress, Larry. We need four more pledges this hour. 31 pledges in the door. So some really nice progress there. The next pledge is yours. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and that you rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener-supported. That means that your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 helps pay for the programs you rely on. It makes a difference.
Well, let's see here. You know, you've been listening to Garden Talk, learning a lot about the basically all of the tree issues that you can possibly bring in the door.
Issues.
Lots of tree issues. But you never know what you're going to find on Garden Talk and what you're going to learn. If this hour is important to you and you make time for Garden Talk, make the pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour possible and many, many more hours possible. Choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your pledge.
And I want to thank you very much for being a WPR listener and a Garden Talk listener. And thank you to everyone who's made a contribution, has become a member. It's listener supported. Your support is what makes WPR an unparalleled resource to Wisconsin and beyond.
And if WPR is your radio home, if it's your true north, support it now. Make the news, the discussions, the music all possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Larry Mueller here with Kate Archer Kent. Again, let me give you that again. It's WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your pledge, asking for your support during this fall membership drive. It's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount, and it's easy, isn't it?
Giving to WPR is easy. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay.
It just takes a couple of minutes. Take it from me. I've done it. You can make your gift in a couple of minutes to fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And we still haven't made our goal yet.
We haven't made our goal yet but for this hour, but four more pledges to go. The next pledge is yours. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's such an important part of making the programs you enjoy possible. And thank you so much for your support.
If you're a sustaining member, making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much for that. Make today the day you increase your support, maybe $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And a donation, a contribution right now is also a vote for Garden Talk. And if you like Garden Talk and all the programs, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your pledge. Thanks for joining us today for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, V.J. Pandian, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. And before we get back to V.J., I just want to let you know that the Senate Judiciary Committee has scheduled a vote today on Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. The vote is going to start at 12:30. You can listen to that live at WPR.org. And, of course, we'll continue coverage on this important event throughout the day and online and on the air. We have a lot of callers online who want to visit with V.J. Pandian. And so I think we're just going to go right to the phone. V.J., is that okay with you?
That's fine.
All right. Let's go to Christine in Jackson next. Hi, Christine. Christine, hi, Christine. Thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
Early this spring, I purchased three corkscrew rillos, and I placed them in 3x3 large patio pots. They doubled in size, and they made a really nice kind of privacy barrier on the patio. Now I need to know what to do with them. Do I put them in the ground? Do I pull the pots into the garage? Or do I hope that they survive the winter?
That's a good question. Definitely, these corkscrew willows, you know, do need to have some chilling period, which means that the buds need to be subjected to 32 to 45 degree in a cold temperature so that they can able to bud out next spring very well. And plus, the roots need to be protected from any kind of like a freezing injuries. So ideally, the best thing to do is to, you know, find a protected spot in your outdoor landscape and dig a trench and bury that, you know, container into the ground. And when you're backfilling it, make sure that, you know, the soil reaches to a depth of about to the rim level. And make sure to put up some chicken wire or something around to it to protect it from your bunnies or any voles or any other critters. Now, that is the ideal. Now, depending upon the size of the container, if you feel that, no, it's too big actually for me to do that, then in that case, you can bring it actually inside your unheated garage. And when you're going to place it in an unheated garage, put up an insulation foam underneath and place the container on top of it, you know, And then actually, you know, if you do have some wood chips or some insulation foam or anything else, you know, you can pile it around the edges of the container to about 6 to 8 inches thickness, okay? And once a month or so, check the soil moisture inside the container. If the soil seems to be dry, slightly moisten it because the roots are still transparent. They need some moisture to thrive. So, you know, you don't want to desiccate the roots. So once a month, check the root system.
There you go. Thanks so much for calling. And I've just reminded myself that we have a $2,500 challenge grant from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. We'll talk some more about that. But as you contribute during this half hour, know that for every dollar that you contribute, up to $2,500, the Master Gardeners Association of Wisconsin will match it. So that's just something to keep in the back of your mind as you're making your contribution at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Let's take another call. Joe in Hayward, it's your turn. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. About 5 years ago, we planted two apple trees, a Honeycrisp and a State Farm. And they had blossoms at the time. They were about 7 feet tall and maybe a trunk diameter of about an inch and a half. We put them in the sunniest spot that we have, but we do live in the woods. There are a lot of oak trees, some maple trees. These are big ones. They're tall. But we planted, for example, a State Farm between two gardens where I successfully grow tomatoes and raspberries and peppers, and another garden where I grow root vegetables and string beans and so forth, and there's enough sunlight for those. We've kept them watered. They're well-drained soil. They're not overwatered. I give them fertilizer spikes according to the directions, and we've been looking every spring for blossoms. See none. We're certain that, you know, the blossoms haven't been killed by a frost or something. What's your best guess, or what should we do to get apples?
What do you think, VJ?
Well, a lot of times, you know, the rootstock controls the blossoms of your apple tree. See, almost all the fruit trees, you know, for Wisconsin, they're all grafted. So what you're seeing above the ground is one kind of an apple tree, either it be a Honeycrisp, Macintosh, anything. What you're seeing beneath the ground is another type of an apple tree. Usually it's a wild apple trees, okay? We call it like a rootstock to provide hardiness. Besides the hardiness, it also controls, you know, when the tree needs to be blooming. So usually dwarf apple trees, semi-dwarf apple trees, okay, their rootstock triggers the blossom around like second or third year onwards. If you have a standard apple tree, they're usually grafted on a Dolgar graft that triggers the blossoms only after 5 years or even 7 years later, actually. So that is the first thing I would ask, actually, to check what kind of rootstock that you have grafted this tree. See if you could be able to trace back which nursery that you're able to brought, and see if there is any name tag or, you know, for the plant material, and see what kind of rootstock this tree has been grafted. The second possibility is that I know that you said light is, you've been able to growing some vegetable gardens, and certainly light is very critical for an apple tree. They need to have at least about, you know, 6 to 8 hours of full sun for that they can able to trigger some blossoms or produce some blossoms, okay? So check again, see if that is, if they do get some enough light, about 6 to 8 hours.
There we go. Joe, good luck. Thank you so much for calling. Barb in Milwaukee, give you a chance now. Hi, Barb.
Hi, good afternoon. I have two questions. One is, I have about a 90-year-old basswood tree in my yard. It's just huge. It takes two people to reach around it. And lately it's been dropping larger branches, like 4 inches in diameter. And I'm just wondering if this means that the tree could be failing, or if bigger trees just do that. And then my second tree is, I'm looking for a recommendation for a different tree.
Okay.
That's a good question. You know, if you do have a larger trees like basswoods, okay, they are have a lot of structural issues going on. They have a lot of included box, which means they have a very weak branch unions. That will be some cracks and split. And those knees need to be carefully examined. My suggestion would be is that when you have large branches been dying or breaking up, call a certified arborist. So just Google up International Society of Arboriculture Certified Arborist or type in ISA Certified Arborist. And, you know, you can, based on which county you are in, you can able to select some of the arborists for hire. These trained professional folks could able to assess the tree's structure and can let you know what is the hazardous risk of having this tree in your property. So considering the age of the tree and you already seems to be having some sort of like a large branches tie back or broken up, it's best to call a professional arborist. As far as the replacement goes, okay, a lot of time it depends upon when you're selecting a tree, it depends upon how much light you're going to get, what type of soil condition you have, how much, what is the proximity actually of that site is going to be from your house and things. Those are the factors needs to be taken into consideration. UW Extension has a publication called Ash Alternatives. So Google up Ash Alternatives, at the end put UWEX. It gives you that publication that talks about some best trees that you can use, select for Wisconsin.
Very good tip there. Thanks, Barb, for calling. Diana in Waukesha, your turn. Hi, Diana.
Hi. My husband and I are wondering about, we know at one time or another you've discussed improvement, trees that were improved by research by the University of Wisconsin and also the University of Minnesota. And I'm wondering how we can get a hold of a list of those trees that might be hardier and also more insect resistant.
So one thing is our University Extension Specialist, Dr. Laura Gell, has put together a lot of tree publications. And those tree publications, you know, are research-based information. And it is available on two different websites. One is learningstore.uwex.edu. So at the learningstore.uwex.edu, that is a search key. Just type in, you know, tree species. It will be able to bring in. Or there are some tabs right up there, so you can click onto the appropriate tabs on lawn and garden. And further, you can click on woody ornamentals, and it brings up those publications. Those publications are free to download, and you can look into those information. The other website is hort.uwex.edu. So this is this publication is also from the University of Wisconsin Extension Horticulture team, and these have 1 or 2 page fact sheet information. Now, one of the smart way that I tend to do is actually, if I do want to now quickly access these extension publications from University of Wisconsin, I just type in trees UWEX at the google.com. And it brings in actually all the list of publication right away in front of my screen. So that's another smart way to go. And of course, you know, there are some lot of good trees. Dr. Laura Joel has been recommended for Wisconsin. So, and so get a good hold of those publications online.
Very good idea. Diana, thank you so much for calling. Tom in McGuanago, you know, lost a couple of 30 to 40 foot ash trees from the ash borer. He hasn't heard of anyone having luck with treating them, but do the treatments work for ash borer?
It all depends, Larry. Yeah. So it all depends upon your pre-existing condition of your ash tree. Let's say your ash tree have a very healthy crown and there is no structural issues in your ash tree, and you are living in an area that is emerald ash borer has been infested, and your tree has not shown any sign of it yet, then in that case, call a certified arborist if your tree circumference is more than 47 inches in diameter. Many professional arborists have products which are actually very powerful enough actually to prevent this EAB from infesting your tree. One of the tree injection product is called Triage. And this product needs to be actually injected to the trunk of the tree during the growing season. And the studies have shown that this product actually can prevent EAB infestation even for about 3 years or 4 years, actually. So you don't have to treat it every year. So you can come back after 3 or 4 years later and you can able to treat it again. Now, there are certain products that request annual treatment. Those products need to be drenched around the trunk of the tree, and some of the professionals have a higher concentrated version product. So if you have a tree trunk of more than 47 inches in diameter, then you can use. Now, if your tree has already been infected with emerald ash borer, and it's a large mature tree, and it doesn't have any structural issues, but you're seeing some sort of crown thinning happening up, then in that cases, you need to carefully examine and call a certified arborist to check if the tree is worth saving it or not. Now, though the triage product, the triage product, which is a trunk injection product, it can able to control or cure if a tree has an emerald ash borer only if there is not a severe infestation. So if there is a light infestation, then you can able to save the tree. Again, you have to determine if the tree is worth saving it or not. If a tree has a lot of structural issues, or if the crown is already dying back, you lost more than 30 to 40% crown. And in those cases, it is not worth it.
There we go. VJ Pandian, our guest today, horticulture educator for UW Extension in Brown County. Doesn't he do a great job? I tell you what, he's a wealth of information. Sure. You know, Kate Archer Kent joining me, I was thinking about myself as he was talking about those trees, because I have a structural issue or two and my crown is receding. But I'm still here, and I'm really happy to have you here, too, to talk about our fall membership drive. And as you listen in to us talk, remember that you rely on the Ideas Network for great discussions like we've had here with BJ Pandian. We rely on you to keep the programs like this one going strong.
Listener support, it's the single largest source of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your gift of any amount right this very minute makes an important difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We did really well the first hour of this program. We heard from 41 people, including 10 new pledgers to the Ideas Network. We have a dollar-for-dollar match, which we're really doing well on. It goes up to $2,500. We still haven't met that goal yet. So here's a chance to double your gift. This generous match is from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, and it means that they'll match the dollars that you give.
Dollar for dollar, you can't go wrong there. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. Double your support for the programs you love, like Garden Talk. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I know you enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. We're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, business sponsors, underwriters are important. And there's another source that's very important, too.
That single largest piece of the funding puzzle for WPR programs that you count on is you. Your support makes all the difference. It is truly the backbone of how things work here. When you give, you keep quality, independent news and conversations on the Ideas Network on the air. So make your gift right this very moment. Get it matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here we are in the midst of our pledge drive, but we paused our pledge drive a bit to hear the hearings on Judge Brett Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. We're going to go away from our pledge driving at 12:30. You can listen to the vote on that at 12:30 today at WPR.org. And, of course, we'll be continuing coverage on this important event throughout the day. Why do we do that? Well, we do it because it's something that we feel is very important to all of us, and we need to hear it. And so I hope you'll pledge right now in support of that kind of effort that we're making here on Wisconsin Public Radio and all the programs that you enjoy at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I want to say that Audra from Madison has appreciated this coverage. She says, thank you for airing the full Kavanaugh hearings yesterday. Part of our mission, Audra, is to keep you informed and up to date. Your gift supports the programs and the special programming that you care about. And right now, you can get these stylish and comfortable socks that we've got going on here. Show your support for WPR on this this membership drive. You'll get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. Give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And those two pair will come with an on-time gift of $120.
That's
so
right.
Anybody who's already contributed will be this half hour will be getting two pairs. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you get these stylish and comfortable socks. So I hope you'll show your support for WPR on this fall membership drive. And again, you'll get not one, but two pairs of WPR socks. Give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And did you know that master gardeners can get continuing education credit for listening to Garden Talk? That is so cool. And that just goes to show what a valuable resource Garden Talk is to listeners like you. You can enjoy Garden Talk whether you're an expert or a novice.
And a lot of times Garden Talk and master gardeners will phone in with their own information.
Yes,
and
they
advice.
Will.
It's really great. We have some really great gardening resource people in our state right here to answer your questions, whether it's about fruit trees, organic gardening, rose bushes, other trees, other topics as well in the garden area. So apply a little fertilizer to the program right now and make your pledge of support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's no mystery. Some things in life you just can't get enough of, like great WPR programming. And socks. And then there's the unsolved mysteries of life. Like, where do socks disappear to in the laundry?
Well, if you're sharing laundry, I think sometimes those socks end up in other people's laundry. That's certainly happened to me. I've gotten foreign socks before, and it's awkward because whose are they? You never know.
My theory is just that socks, like their independence, they go through, you know, they're like people, they go through adolescence. When they're adolescent, they want to be independent. They want to break free from the pair of socks and establish their own identity.
I think it's the great sock-eating monster that gobbles them up, and I don't know where that monster lurks, but it hangs out in my basement, I know that.
The solution is no mystery. Replenish your sock drawer and keep the WPR programming you love strong. Today only, you'll get two pairs of WPR socks when you give $10 a month. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before, because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, think again. Listener donations are so, so, so important. The single biggest source of funding for us here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
Well, we have this, well, we just met this dollar-for-dollar match that we had here in effect from the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. Thank you so much for meeting this match this half hour. Take advantage of all of the great programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
I always, on Fridays, I always like to think those who contribute are putting in a little extra vote for the Garden Talk program. If Garden Talk is a program that you enjoy and you come to and listen to on Fridays or on Saturday mornings now at 6, great time. If you haven't contributed, to do it right now. How do you do it? Well, you go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Your gift, very powerful, makes a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you.